Alrighty, welcome to the Mid-Range Podcast. My name is Jacob Weiss. It is an early episode, 1 p.m. on a Sunday. I got Nick Geramonte in the building. How you doing, Nick?
What up? What up, Jacob Weiss? Here we are. Another weekend doing this.
How are you feeling? You seem
college
tired.
College basketball. What?
You seem a little tired.
I'm not. I'm more awake than ever. Got football on Sunday morning. It's a great week. It's a great week of basketball.
We're coming to you after the first week of college basketball. It's Sunday. First season recap, the kind of Monday through Wednesday games with Bryce and talked about the weekend slate. Now that weekend slate is pretty much over. So we're going to do a little recap. Talk about what happened. Start with Friday. Let's start with the big game on Friday, and we can do the rest of it kind of tangentially. Kansas, North Carolina. North Carolina wins 87-74. Hubert Davis comes in, or I guess Self comes into North Carolina looking for a win. UNC as favorites ends up winning by 13 points. Nick, what'd you think about that game? Where are you at with Kansas and UNC? Is UNC better than we thought?
Yeah, these are kind of your two babies here. Like you were high on both these teams coming into the year a lot, talking about DP and talking about Tar Heels. And yeah, I mean the story here is obviously Caleb Wilson. And that's kind of the main theme of week one of college basketball is just the freshman class. Like, you can't get enough of these freshmen. They're deep. They're deep. And this is one of the deepest draft classes in a long time from the freshman position. Like, honestly, if you look at the last couple of years with the additions of NIL and all the transfer portal stuff, it looked like the freshman one-and-done guys may have been dead, and a lot of schools weren't even taking freshmen. But this year is the complete opposite. It's the revival of the freshman. And Caleb Wilson, 24-7-4, he was the best player on the court. Like, everybody knew he was good.
He looked good.
But, like, we spent all offseason hyping up DeBansa and DP and Cam Boozer, and it's – guys like Koa Pete and Caleb Wilson, and we'll get into Cam Ward, and it's just the amount of talented freshmen is unbelievable. Like, Nate Ament went off yesterday, and the addition of Henry Vissar are so great for North Carolina, so I just think that alone elevates them to better than what we thought. It makes you higher on North Carolina because – knowing the roster coming in, it didn't have, like, the most hype in the world. You kind of needed a guy like Caleb Wilson and a transfer like Henry Vissar to take their next step. And granted, we're a week into the season, but if Caleb produces even close to this for the rest of the year, you were looking pretty confident to what this UNC team can do. And then on the Kansas side, it's the fear of kind of what we talked about preseason as well, where it's like the portal wasn't great for the Jayhawks. Like, their best guy was probably Trey White, and Trey White has never been like a dude, and you're kind of counting on him to be a dude, and he was at Illinois not being great, and then you guys like Bryson Tiller and Amarco who were out last season, and you're kind of expecting them to bounce back from injury and give you quality minutes. Like, it's again two games in, but it's the fear that we talked about. We're like, Flori Badunga is a great player, but he's not offensively talented enough to be constant there that you can rely on. He's more of a defensive top role player guy, and you're counting on a true freshman to produce at the highest level. And granted, he was good, but this team can only go as far as Darren Peterson can take him, and unless somebody steps up, that ceiling is just going to be a floor or be lower than what you thought for the rest of the season. So it definitely concerns me.
Yeah, I do think their ceiling is still there. I mean, this is a transfer-heavy team, and like you said, you're relying on a true freshman to really be the entire offense to some extent. And he looked great. I mean, he was not the problem. in this game, exactly. Obviously. He played very well, and they still couldn't get it done. But Dunga has to be... But Dunga has to find his role on offense, I think, and just, like, play efficient basketball. Because, like, if you're playing him 36 minutes and he's only grabbing 7 boards, no blocks, he's shooting less than 50% from the field, it's not really the Flory Badunga game you're hoping for, especially in a game like this. And if he's obviously out there for his defensive potential, especially on the interior. And Visar was dominant in this game. I mean, 20 points, just 8 for 12. Caleb Wilson was dominating on the inside, 24 points, 9 for 12 from the field. Wilson was great on defense as well. But Kansas, yeah, I don't know if it's a ceiling issue, but their floor, the bottom could really fall out here if they aren't able to put some things together. Because, like, this UNC team, obviously, I have kind of stuck my claim that they are better than people are giving them credit for, and that they're going to be a team that makes a little more noise down the stretch than people think. But they're not in the class of the best of the Big 12, not even close. So, like, this was a good game where they should have come in as they're about even in terms of projections, and, like, they should have won this game. This would have been a big way to start the season, and they kind of laid an egg. And UNC, but I also don't want to just barrel down on Kansas. UNC looked good. I mean, Visar, and like you said, Wilson. Wilson on defense was amazing, which is kind of like, I talked about this a lot when we did our ACC episode, where, like, he's long and athletic, and if he can be that defensive force, that could be a huge difference maker for them down the stretch. Bogovac wasn't great off the bench, but he came in and took a few shots. He's going to be their sixth man, it looks like. He's playing about 20 minutes a game off the bench for him. Trimble's fitting right into that secondary role that they wanted him to. And it's kind of like maybe a little different than what I was thinking, but there was this idea coming into the season with North Carolina that they didn't have a point guard or a true first playmaker. But if you look in the aggregate, it's like all of their starters are making the right pass and making the right play, and they're not playing selfishly, which I think was also a concern with Caleb Wilson specifically, that he might be kind of mid-range hungry, maybe not taking the most efficient shots. He was finding his spots, and he was making his shots in this game, and I was really impressed. I mean, he goes to the free throw line, takes 9 free throws, which is great from a true freshman to see him getting there. I think UNC is good, and I will say I don't think Kansas is terrible, but I definitely could see some major concern. Like you said, it's tough when it's all coming down to we need this 18-year-old to come out here and completely dominate for us to get a win. I think we talked about this as kind of their floor when we talked Big 12, but it that was definitely a Trae Young, Oklahoma type game, right? Like, where it's like, okay, yeah, he looks good, and he's taking all the shots, and he's the biggest difference maker, and he probably was the best player on the floor. You could say Caleb Wilson as well, but Peterson's right there. But it just isn't even close to enough. You still get beat by 13, and it didn't even feel like a 13-point game coming down the stretch there. So, not great for Kansas, and exciting for North Carolina. I think I'm feeling good about that take very, very early. It's nice to get one right early on, you know. If we look around...
Yeah, I mean, everybody talked about Caleb Wilson coming in as, like, this big guy, like you said. He's 6'10". He has all the attributes of being, like, a dominant, I don't know, four, even undersized five that's athletic. But like you mentioned, like, he can handle the ball better than I think I thought, distribute better defensively, like, put guard, like, he could switch on to guards. Like, he can do it all, and he's a potential top five pick in the draft. And just to kind of wrap up Kansas a little bit, like, I think everybody kind of throws this benefit of the doubt because of, oh, this is a Bill Self coach Kansas team, you can't count them out, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, which is fair. Like, they won a natty literally 3 years ago, but there is at least a little bit of a concern where in kind of the main 2 years of the transfer portal era, he's been wildly disappointing there. And I know the health concerns are a big thing, and he was kind of in and out there, so you give him the benefit of the doubt on that.
Dalton Price.
But, like, he's missed on transfers, and he's hasn't done it well, and he's, you know, they were first-round exit last year to a Arkansas team that was very inconsistent, and the year before they were out early too. Like they haven't made a second weekend since the year they won the Natty. So I think it's more concerns than we think when we just throw out, okay, it's Bill Self. Like, as we see so much in like college football and even in college basketball, when you see a lot of these legends kind of start to retire, it's just a different game. And I think, like, you can't throw, like, Dabo Sweeney, like, or there's so many coaches that you can name, or, like, Tony Bennett in college basketball. Like, it changes, and if Self doesn't keep adapting, it's tough to give him the benefit of the doubt all the time as we stand here today.
Well, and, you know, I mean, modern college basketball, you're not – Self isn't getting the benefit of Kansas as a brand the same way.
Exactly.
As they used to, where it's like, yeah, you're going to bring in some guys because you're Kansas and because you've proven you send people to the NBA. But what do these kids give a shit about that anymore when they it's money, it's finances. And it's like, yeah, Kansas is a good brand and a great team historically, but it's like you said, it's he's going to have to adapt. And I think there's kind of some writing on the wall here that maybe this is his last year.
Yeah, for sure. And with the health problems, too, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I won't, don't be surprised if this is Self's last season, especially. I mean, if they are a 7-seed, 10-seed type range like they were last year, or God forbid they miss the tournament, which is unlikely, obviously, he's definitely done.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, you say that, too. But it...
No, you're right. They definitely could. It's a thing, too, where... Like, they gave – Darren Peterson's amazing. DP's unbelievable. You gave the majority of your NIL money to one 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, that's – maybe you diversify a little bit more. And obviously, it was a switch-up because it didn't work the last couple of years. But I don't know if that's necessarily the right move.
And you stole him from Ohio State. And that's the worst part of all of it. Caleb Wilson also had Ohio State in his top three, by the way, if anyone's keeping track.
Hang the banner.
Hang the banner. Darren Peterson and Caleb Wilson had us in their top three. All right. Let's bounce around here off that, and let's go to a little, maybe more of a concerning result, or another concerning result for a national power, and that's Purdue versus Oakland. I don't know if you watch. I don't think either of us necessarily watched much of this game. I mean, maybe you did. If so, let me know. But
I saw
just kind of like you see the result and you see maybe a lackluster defensive performance from Oscar Clough. It's just something that people were concerned about coming into the season, and maybe this team isn't quite up to the standard that they believed. Do you buy that for Purdue, or are you washing this away?
I'm waiting and seeing just because TKR has been out for the first two games, and TKR is an All-American talent, one of the best players in the nation, and he better be back because they go at Alabama their next game, so it's get ready fast. But here's the thing with this Purdue team is that this is – when you look at Matt Painter and Purdue, like they don't have these opportunities all the time. Like this year is legitimately national title or bust. And
absolutely.
So the standard is so much above to where, like, again, I'm waiting to see with TKR, but if TKR comes back and they still have, like, these defensive issues and, yeah, Clough isn't necessarily the guy that they thought he'd be or fit right away, then it's definitely a concern because this is the number one team in the nation and you can't afford to mess around with an Oakland team at home. If you lose to Alabama, like, that's obviously a very, very tough game, as we just saw Alabama put on a clinic against St. John's and get a road win there. Like, that's a really, really, really good team. But you should expect to win every game on your schedule because you expect to win the national title. So, it's just...
Definitely.
a different level of expectations than most teams, which is why it's, I think it's fair to be critical. But I'm holding full judgment until TKR comes back because he's, like I said, one of the best players in the nation.
I'm gonna give you a Nikki style take right here. You ready for this one?
As if I were a Purdue fan.
No, this is. You'll see. Purdue goes to Alabama, right? They play at Alabama on Thursday. Let's say they win that game. Akron goes to Purdue on Sunday the 16th. That's an upset spot. That's Akron, a talented Akron team, a well-coached Akron team. If this Purdue team is struggling with Oakland, Akron is way better than Oakland. And, like, they run, and they are, like, anti-Purdue. They're Ohio tough. They play fast. They play really good defense. Give me if they beat Alabama. If Alabama wins that game, then I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama's favorites in that game.
Yeah, that's true.
In Alabama, like, I'm sure Alabama will be top 10 in AP this week. Like, it's
– Yeah, we'll get to that. I mean, on that note, too, it's like it's – you know, you see Oakland, and I think there's a little bit like, oh, like, Oakland, like, they beat Kentucky that one year. Like, they're sneaky. They're in the tournament here and there. It's like Oakland just got beat by 40 by Michigan earlier in the week. So we're not like – that's a pretty direct comparison of the two best teams in the Big Ten. They played both of them, and Michigan stood out. So, like, that's – say what you will. Every game's different. You probably shouldn't judge it all in that way, but I'm going to judge it that way, and I'm going to say that there is no reason Purdue should be ranked number one after this week. Like, there's no way. They have to drop, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's that the TKR thing is the big thing where it's like –
yeah,
fully healthy, maybe, but yeah.
I mean, sure, but like you say that if they go to Alabama and they lose and TKR doesn't play, I'd be like, okay, you know, this Purdue team isn't fully healthy. That's totally fair. Yeah. It's Oakland. You beat Oakland by more than 10 points if you're Purdue.
Yeah, number one and Oakland's Michigan soft. At home.
Exactly. They're Michigan soft, not Ohio tough.
Not Ohio tough.
All right, let's move along from Friday, go on to that Saturday slate. Two big games. We'll start with the aforementioned Alabama Crimson Tide. Goes into Madison Square Garden, scores 103 points, and knocks off top five St. John's in kind of the first big-time game of the season for both these teams, obviously. Nick, what do you see with Alabama that put them over the top against Rick Pitino and St. John's?
LeBaron Filon, you know how much I love this guy. He's an NBA player playing in college, and that's so evident. Yeah. And he's, again, like the perfect fit for Nato's system, and just everything that you wanted to see out of this team is happening. Like, the Aiden Holloway story is awesome because it's, I don't know, it's just good college basketball. It's just a rarity where he's a five-star.
Tell us a little bit about the...
Five-star. Alabama and Auburn are in his top choices out of high school. He chooses Auburn. Doesn't work out necessarily the way he wanted. And when you flip from Auburn to Alabama in the portal, that gives you, like, that's a rarity to go from... Yeah. From rival to rival and do it that way. Like, it's a little Roddy Gale-esque in that sense. And then last year, like, he's a role player, and he has a nice year, but it's, you know, you have Mark Sears and you're still playing under some other guys. And just to go out and put on the performance that he did, like, him and Filon are a great duo. And then I got, like, the Trell Reitzel taking that next step where he comes over from CSU Fullerton a couple years ago, and it's the same thing where you probably want a bigger role. And he's that sixth man now where he's a bucket. And everybody's taking that next step for Alabama, and it's exactly what you want to see. Yeah. And they forced St. John's to play their style of play. And I think that's
– yeah.
That's exactly how you win games, is you force a team in St. John's who doesn't want to play that fast. And if you play Alabama's brand of ball, you're not going to outplay them with that pace and style. So, yeah, it's more Alabama than St. John's for me. Like, Zuby was unbelievable. Bryce Hopkins was okay. But again, you're not gonna win a shootout with Alabama, and that's exactly what happened.
Zuby, man, Zuby is ridiculous to be even like this. Is obviously Alabama was the better team, and like you said, Filon and Holloway were definitely the highlights, and like Alabama with great guard play is as scary as any team in the country. Honestly, like I think they went, and like we both said in the preseason, we both picked St. John's to win the Big East, and we both said they were one of the most talented teams in the country. I said they're the most talented team in the country. I'm not going to back down off that. These are two top 10 teams, maybe two top 5 teams going against each other early season. Zuby Ejiofor in a fast-paced game at his size, scoring 27 points, 10 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, he is a monster, and he's going to be a 100% be a player of the year candidate come the end of the year. He is a beast. In Jackson comes off the bench. I'm surprised you didn't mention him. 14 points in 23 minutes. I got to say, your guy in Jackson, I think Patino is not particularly fond of him at the moment. It seems like there's a little bit of a problem
there.
We'll see
how that's just Patino.
I mean, yeah, that is Patino. But that's actually true. I mean, like, he does kind of do that every year with his top guys, especially. He's always going a little hard.
And, last year, RJ Lewis was Big East player of the year, and he didn't play him in the tournament. Like, that's – yeah. It's so up and down.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, he's going to do everything he needs to win. And Nate Oates went into MSG, which was probably completely full of St. John's fans. I mean, you know, people from Alabama are, like, afraid of New York City, so they're probably not going up there. And Alabama just looked like the better team. I mean, they played their game. They made St. John's play Alabama basketball, and they beat them. Like, that was exactly what Nate Oates wanted to do. LeBaron Filon is, like, you're right, is an NBA player playing college basketball. Alabama's really good. I don't even know. I don't know what else there is to say about this game. I was truly impressed with Alabama and Nate Oates. I mean, I picked, when Bryce and I talked about it, I picked Alabama with the points, but I didn't think they were going to win straight up. And they looked really good. At MSG is really impressive. So credit where credit is due for Nate Oates and Alabama. And it was an electric game too, which was fun. And then you come down to the end of the day and you get the polar opposite in Arkansas versus Michigan State, which was one of the most ugly performances from both sides. You had Arkansas was a total Calipari team, undisciplined, like throwing the ball around like crazy. And then Michigan State, classic Michigan State team, great on defense, can't make a fucking shot. It was like exactly what you expect from that game. And Arkansas had about 10 chances to tie it up and couldn't do it. And Izzo comes out with a win and a classic Izzo fashion. Nick, what did you see with Michigan State and Arkansas? What were your big takeaways from this game?
Yeah, I think props to us. I feel like we were both lower on Arkansas. We're in agreement on that preseason of that maybe they're not ready yet. And it's one of those situations here where they lost by 3 at Michigan State, and this is a classic Cal team full of freshmen. So they're going to struggle early on in the year, and they're maybe not going to be as good as people thought they were. But I would buy stock on this team right now. They're at a low point. Their freshmen struggled more than what you would like to see. But as freshmen do, they typically get better as the year goes on. But I think Michigan State, like, it's just winning ugly. Like, that's Izzo. And again, I think the storyline keeps going, which I talked about before, like Cam Ward coming off the bench, 18-10. It's the freshman class is massive. Like, it's you go to every team, and it seems like there's freshmen all around the country that are like looking like they could be the best player on their team, and it's just unbelievable. Like Cohen Carr's electric. Can't play basketball, but he's electric. And Jeremy Spears.
But has he learned how to play basketball now?
He's getting closer and closer. Again, if he's like Zion Williamson, if he figures it out. Just a little bit.
If he could just figure out how to play, just the
levels. exactly. He's an unbelievable
That three he took was hilarious.
Yeah, he can't play. Wide open in the corner. But he's so much fun. Like, his highlight reel is unbelievable. Yeah.
Did you see his undershirt?
No, what did it say?
He was just wearing a graphic t-shirt, so you could see the logo over the bottom of the shirt. It was fucking hilarious.
He's classic college basketball, and he's one of those guys that everybody knows because of his highlights. Like, for the past 3 years, it's been the same thing. But it sucks for Michigan State because, they can't shoot the three. But they brought in a guy in Caleb Glenn out of the portal from FAU who, was supposed to be their shooter, and then he gets hurt for the season, I believe. And he was a 41% three-point shooter at FAU, so that's, a big blow to them, which will kind of be the Achilles heel of this Michigan State team the entire year, which sucks. Yeah, we haven't seen this before. That's what it's like. Well, people are like, Izzo go get a shooter, and then he got Glenn, and then it doesn't work injury-wise, which sucks, but maybe you need a couple shooters in case that kind of happens. So
maybe two.
It's Izzo. And Fears is going to be better, but yeah. So I like Michigan State. That concerns me long-term, and I think it's more of Arkansas just not being ready to play early in the season because of the new roster and how young it is and Cal's guys and everything. So I don't love either of these teams. I think it's a cool win for Michigan State. We saw them struggle with Colgate to start the year, so I'm not exactly going to just be fully bought in. But, I mean, they're fun. They're just a funny, fun college basketball team where they're going to be tough to beat. But they're also going to be beat by some questionable teams because of the lack of shooting. So it's going to be interesting to watch the whole year. But Cam Ward, just add it to the list, guys to watch.
Yeah.
Freshman to watch.
True freshman. I mean, you take your pick. You look at the Michigan State roster before the season, find a true freshman. That guy's probably going to be an NBA player after this year, regardless of the ranking coming into the season. This is what Izzo does year after year, is just find these guys. I don't know if he finds them or this is what he turns them into. I mean, he's a ridiculous coach. This was such a quintessential, if you're a big-time NBA guy and you watch this game, you'd be like, college basketball is terrible. And if you're a college basketball guy and you watch this game, you're like, oh, this is awesome. This is hilarious. Yeah. What a perfect I think we probably didn't talk about Michigan State enough in some sense. And you probably say the same about Wisconsin. These are just teams that every year, regardless of what the preseason expectation is, they end up being competitive in the Big Ten and competitive come March. So credit where credit is due. Tom Izzo always has this team ready. And I thought they played their game. I mean, the shooting is a problem. It just is. You can't go 1 of 14 from three in a college basketball game in 2025 and expect to win against anyone that doesn't have, let's see. I mean, how many turnovers did they have in this game? 14 turnovers from Arkansas. I mean, it's 14 for both teams. I mean, both teams. It was an ugly game. I don't know. Acuff wasn't exceptional. Brazil was bad. Brazil was really bad. And then, I don't know. I think my biggest takeaway from this game is that, both of these teams are probably not going to do much damage.
Exactly. I'm not extremely high on either.
It was pretty much like we both kind of came in, maybe Arkansas is not as exceptional as we thought, but they showed out in their first game. 30-point win against Southern, who really cares? But Acuff looked great, I know, and he was getting a lot of hype. I think DJ Wagner as well. I will say Pringle, I like him. I think he's a really good I do become fond of these big guys, lanky, good defenders, good lob finisher type guys. I think every basketball team in 2025 should want a guy like that in the middle, especially in college. It's a major advantage, and he's a good guy. If Acuff would maybe just like slow it down a little bit and look to pass here and there instead of shooting 16 shots, making five of them, that would be a difference maker for them. You know, I think Coach Cal has made a career off of kind of turning maybe like basketball players that aren't necessarily, like, I try to say this in a nice way, but like that aren't winning oriented into winning players in the past, or that's at least what he would have you think he's done.
Well, he does more for them off the court in terms of
Yeah, well, that's true.
Young man.
He's got his work cut out for him with this team. It's time to turn these boys into some young men, because that was a bit pitiful. And whatever that out of bounds play was to get the three at the end of the game was about as shitty as I've seen. So I don't know.
Yeah, I had no idea. I forgot Pringle was even on Arkansas. Like, Pringle's been around for, seems like forever on a different team every year. I was like, it's funny.
Well, that's a classic. One of those guys. Yeah. I mean, yeah, this is his, I mean, he's been in college basketball since 2020.
Yeah, I remember, like, Rico Bosco, like, cheering him on a Bama in the tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, South Carolina last year.
Yeah, he was good at South Carolina.
Yeah, got him the big, probably got him a big payday for the Razorbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we probably are pretty much on the same page here. I mean, those are kind of the three big games from the weekend, Nick. Is there anything else of note you want to talk about before we get into the State of the Union for TCU, Ohio State type stuff?
I mean, Gonzaga U is kind of the other game. I don't know if you want to touch on that, but...
I'm happy to hear whatever you have to say.
Yeah, it's just...
You're it.
Gonzaga looks very good. They blew this
hard.
Team.
I
like,
know that's hard for you.
No, it's great for the conference, and like if you look at this Gonzaga team, it's like you got to think like they must have won the WCC last year, right? Like regular season and tournament, and they must have had the winning record against their rival, because like if you look at this team, like they're one of the best teams in the nation. They handle.
I mean, is everyone on this Gonzaga team like 25? This is like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you can say yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. It's definitely raising some eyebrows. Like Graham Ike has been in college basketball dominating for like 5 years now, and Adam Miller's on his like on his 10th team. Yeah. And
the
average Grant
20
Fox
points
ever.
Our freshman year in college. It's crazy.
Who, Ike?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's nuts. I heard Bryce got his name Ike. That was a rough look for a college basketball guy to not know EK was. I was listening to Pod like, all right, dude, come on. But so
I'm
that was
shout that out.
Yeah, that was eyebrow raising for sure. Like it's Graham EK. Everyone knows like every player on this team, just because they've all like Braden House been there for forever, seems like too.
Yeah.
They're gonna be good, and it's just a thing too where like the WCC like is a one team bid league. Like there's nobody else in this conference who could contend with them. Like
nobody's again, saying like, that. Like that's the thing. Is like I understand what you're doing here, but nobody is like getting on their high horse and being like, the WCC sucks. Like, it's a one-bid league. It's like...
No, I know.
No one is...
No, that's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm having it. Like, there has to be no team who, like, beat that reigning NIT champion handedly the other day.
The reigning NIT champion.
Chattanooga, yeah. But, no, Gonzaga looks really good, like, legitimately, and it's going to be a fun race in the WCC this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. you're always spinning a narrative, dude.
Well, it's just like everybody's sleeping. It's like everybody keeps saying, "Oh, WCC one good league." Yeah. It's like
everyone is saying that.
Like, were you watching the Chattanooga game the other night?
I can't say I had it on, unfortunately.
The reigning NIT champs. Because I remember you were saying, like, oh, Chattanooga, like, they're looking good. Like,
Well, Bryce had him as his like mid-major team.
Oh, really?
Remind me, well, there you go. Who'd you pick as your mid-major team?
Oh, maybe the team that beat Chattanooga the other night. But shit. Yeah, no, it's the WCC is going to be fun to watch. That's my takeaway. And WCC SEC, like,
yeah.
Do we want to have that conversation? Are we ready for that conversation?
Should we? Well, if you want to talk about conference conversations, what about the ACC only having lost one game so far?
We don't have to talk about that.
including wins over. Oh, you know what we should talk about? Is what? Virginia Tech versus Providence.
Yeah, bad loss for Providence. I actually was a little bit dialed. Yeah, I was in. I was paying attention.
Let's just chat. Let's just bring up this this young superstar from the Greek Freak, which that's a unique nickname just for him. Let me get
6'9". Put me on.
Neoklis Avadlas. So there's like a huge deal coming into the season from Greece, and like a lot of these like college basketball guys were kind of banging the drum for Virginia Tech. I don't know if you were keeping up with that, but like Ryan Hammer, and like if you watch the Field of 68 with Oglesby and Fanta, and I forget the other guy's name, but they did the ACC preview, and they were kind of all like, yeah. Virginia Tech, I don't know, Virginia Tech, whatever. And like, there you go. Like, Providence is looking to have a decent, I mean, they're nothing special, but they're a strong Big East team, and Virginia Tech takes them down. Abdallah has a great game. 33 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 of 8 from 3. If you saw the highlights, man, he looked good. I mean, it was like had a little Luka to it, for sure. Like, the way he was moving, a little slow, that slow-moving step back, like, it was really cool, and I think he's going to be really good. And watch out for Virginia Tech this year. I mean, Hansberry, 17 points, 11 rebounds. Bedford, 18 points. Like, they might be sneaky competitive in the ACC. It might be a tough out come March with a talent like this. But I just thought we'd mention it. And another storyline across the leagues. Do you know about the Penn State New Haven thing, Nick? I would love to hear your take. Oh, I lost Nick. All right, I'll just talk about it then. Penn State goes to New Haven. New Haven is a new D1 this year. This is their first season playing at this level. They come up from, I believe, it must have been D2. If you see their arena, I mean, it's the size of a middle-of-the-road high school arena. It's tiny. Penn State goes to their tiny arena in New Haven, Connecticut, plays a game at New Haven, crushes them. I mean, the pregame spread was like 16.5. They ended up winning by 44. But the deal was, Penn State, if you come play us at our building 1 year, we will give you 3 free bye games the next 3 seasons. So New Haven will be at Penn State the next 3 years in what should be an interesting kind of precedent to set for a team like New Haven, just being like, all right, we want you to bring the attention to us. You come to our building. Nick, good to have you back. You come to our building in Connecticut, and we'll come to you for free. You're good. I'm just talking about the Penn State New Haven thing. I'll catch you up on it later. But essentially, Penn State goes to New Haven for a game. New Haven then gives them 3 free bye games for the next 3 years. So New Haven's going to go to Penn State the next 3 years for free because Penn State came to them. Kind of like it's a little bit of a trade off early in the season. I mean, if you've seen their arena, it looks like a high school arena. Penn State goes in as like 16 points favorites, ends up beating them by 40 plus. So I think people maybe were hoping for a little more juice, but you know, New Haven's obviously is their first year in D1, so it'll be interesting to see with that. And Penn State's probably the worst or one of the worst Power Fives, so it's probably smart of them to do something like that when you're given the opportunity. Yeah, that's kind of it from the weekend. I'm trying to think if there's anything else worth mentioning. Oh, you know what we should talk about? Let's talk about UCLA, Nick. Two games in,
Fire Mick.
They 6-point win against Eastern Washington, and then a pretty close game against Pepperdine. Only win by 11 in that one.
Are we ready for the conversation?
WCC. We might be ready WCC for some kind of deep conversation when it comes to UCLA. Is Mick Cronin on the hot seat? All jokes aside,
he put himself on the hot seat, didn't he?
That's
yeah,
right.
That was kind of the big clip of the
Well, he didn't put himself on the hot seat. He fired himself.
He said, "I would fire me." Yeah. He's a clip maniac. It would be fun to cover that team.
He's fucking hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, look, like they've struggled, but again, the second game you're going against a WCC team, and any team from that conference is deep, and they're able to handle that. Sure. But yeah, it's alarming. You were probably the highest on UCLA coming into the season out of all of us, and yeah, it's obviously early in the season, and you can't really take results from early in the season to heart. Like, if you have a big bounce back win against like a St. Francis or a team like that, like then I think you wash everything away.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna be the big, oh, you're struggling to pull big wins against Eastern Washington, yeah, or Pepperdine, right, or those teams. Like, the big one is like,
well, they, to be fair, they did win.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't even take results at all. Like, you can win, right, lose, whatever.
Win, lose, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, from your, right, first game. Like, I don't...
Yeah, we wouldn't want to overreact, right?
Yeah. I don't think a lot of overreactions. but they play Arizona coming up, so that's when I'll first be really tuned into UCLA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate this, like, trying to find narratives from these, yeah, stupid,
well, like, let's just get to feast games.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Like, that's when college basketball really does start. And yeah. So, yeah, just kind of waiting for that.
But, I mean, you're going to get a few good games here and there, a few good games on the weekend that we talked about already. And then, like you said, Arizona-UCLA on Friday. I mean, Bryce and I will probably, yeah, break it down on the Thursday episode, but that'll be a great game.
And they turn around and they go to Justin Matthews and Sac State coming in. So,
I know. Sac State's 2-0.
I know, yeah, and Mikey brought up 16 the other day, I think. I think yeah, Justin Matthews is getting him hyped over there in Sactown. So so that's a scary team to look out for.
Taking a personal showing him around the stadium. What about the kid at Tarleton?
He's a mascot. let's talk Tarleton.
Former teammate of Mikey Williams. What's his name?
Oh yeah, Dior Johnson.
Yeah, Dior Johnson had a job with 30, didn't he?
Yeah. That last chance UCF last year was a fun roster looking back at it.
Yeah. Yeah, and a fun team too.
You like that last chance UCF last year?
Yeah. I remember that being a thing coming out of the season. Oh, watch out.
Yeah.
The thing is, Keyshawn, I don't worry Hall about those teams kind of at the bottom of the Big 12. Those are, like, completely irrelevant.
Neither do I. Neither do I. I worry about mid-Big 12 and up, and that's all I'm going to be worried about for the season.
Heavy focus on the middle of the Big 12.
Heavy focus on the middle.
I guess I'm in the same boat. Heavy focus on the middle of all these big conferences, right? Like, Big 10. We're worried about the middle.
You might be worried about the top with how this offense is going if you want to transition into that.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's talk Ohio State.
UCLA's looking down. Purdue's looking down.
Yeah.
Bruce Thornton. Let's talk about your viral week.
Bruce Thornton. You know, I got a fun fact for you, Nick.
Hit me.
You're gonna love this. Did you know Bruce Thornton's 38 points against Purdue Fort Wayne was the highest scoring game since Jared Solinger? 40 points in 2010. Yeah.
It's been 15 years since someone dropped 38 or above. That's crazy. That actually
is
crazy.
And it's
seriously credit to you, though. That was a good tweet.
And it's one of those things when you find a stat like that and you put it out, you're always like, I know I put a lot of hard work into this. And like, I just a little recap. I put out a tweet with that stat. You know, I did the research beforehand and I posted it. And, you know, 100,000 views later, I'm sitting here just ecstatic. It's 100,000 views and 40 likes, and 2 comments, 4 retweets. It's incredible. And X, the Everything app, I got to say I'm happy that I got this great opportunity from them. Thank you, Bruce Thornton and his brother, for blowing this tweet up. And it's really an amazing feeling. Nick, did you see the tweet, perchance?
Yeah, I did. I actually really, really liked the way you formatted it. Throwing the picture.
Well, I will admit, I took a lot of inspiration from you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love the way that you tweet, where you kind of do that, like, here's the point, and then a little second line type situation.
Yeah.
You do the picture, you tag the guys. Yeah. I was just thinking I would do kind of like your style of tweet. I know it's worked for you. I think so too. I think it's safe to say I'm a fucking superstar now. And I'm pretty much like the Don of Ohio State Twitter now. So if anyone wants to come through Columbus, you better come talk to me. Make sure you check in. But to move on from my virality, my sensational posts, let's talk about Ohio State. Let's talk about the Buckeyes. 2-0. 118 against IU Indy in their first game. 94 points against Purdue Fort Wayne in the second. You're thinking to yourself, man, like, those aren't great teams. Those are random public schools in Indiana that no one cares about. And I'm saying, Ohio State scored 90 points or more in both of their first two games. Bruce Thornton looked great in both of their first two games. Christoph Tilly is an offensive monster. Can shoot, finish, pass, rebound. Another gem coming out of the WCC, one of the best conferences in college basketball. Yeah, Amari Bynum coming in off the bench will give you that spark, that true freshman spark, that athleticism. If he can just put his head down and slow the game down a little bit, he can be a massive impact, because Ohio State doesn't need more scoring off the bench. But this starting five for Ohio State, man, Bruce Thornton, Junai Mobley, when he's hitting these deep threes, there's nothing that gets me quite going like him. And, you know, you got Devin Royal sliding over to the three, Brandon Knoll at the four. These guys are just playing their asses off. They're working hard. This Ohio State offense is, you know what, I'll just say, this is the best offense in the country. Ohio State has the best offense in college basketball. And I don't think that's optimistic. I don't think that's exaggeration. I think that's just a fact. If you watch this team play, they have great shooters, great finishing. This starting five is one of the best starting fives in college basketball. And there's no reason Ohio State shouldn't compete in the Big Ten. If you look at the way Purdue looks, like you said, if you look at the way UCLA looks, like you said, there's no one at the top of this conference aside from Michigan and Illinois that are setting themselves apart. And Ohio State should be right in that conversation with them. This is a guaranteed tournament team. I'm stamping them guaranteed.
I love it.
In the tournament. And I'm saying they are going to compete for the Big Ten. They're a 22-win team. Let's go, Ohio State. Let's get it done finally. Some good basketball out of Columbus, Ohio. It's electric. Let's fucking go.
I love seeing you fired up. I'm very excited. I haven't seen you this fired up since you guys beat Michigan in football. That must have been an amazing feeling for you as an Ohio State fan. It's awesome to see. Like, it's I love this for you. Like, again, like, no one works harder to put out Ohio State basketball content and see you reaping the benefits of a 2-0 start here is pretty unbelievable.
It's fucking incredible, Nick. And like you said, I will say, if I had to put it in perspective, it's probably the most joy I felt since Ohio State won the national championship. I don't know why you went straight to the whole beating Michigan thing. I think you know very well that Ohio State actually hasn't beaten Michigan since I've been a student here. And, you know, that's it's a little bit of a touchy subject for me, but I'll let it slide for now.
I thought you had.
And it feels like it. I gotta say, Nick, it feels like you're diminishing my tweet a little bit.
I'm not.
It feels like there's something that you're not saying about this tweet. Is there anything that you want to tell the people? Is there anything you want to get off your chest here on the pod?
No. I'm genuinely happy.
I want to tell the truth to the fans, to the listeners. I want to hear whatever's running through your mind about this tweet.
I'm an Ohio State basketball fan. I'm rooting for you. Like, I'm genuinely want, like, it would be nothing better for this podcast if all our teams were good. And I think everybody's holding their end of the bargain. And I think it's awesome to see. Do you want me to talk to ECU? I was there.
I don't know. We'll have to come back to it. I gotta say, this feels a little like fake excitement from your end for Ohio State, and I am
excited. I'm thrilled.
I just think like it's I'm almost excited. Like you're not excited happy for me. You're not happy for my team. You're not happy for Bruce.
I'm very happy for Bruce.
Well, I don't know if you heard, he's actually going to Lexington this weekend. He was at Lexington for the game, Florida.
Get a boy, stay hot.
Kentucky. To see his brother play. Not that you would know. You don't follow that closely, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I guess we'll come back to this throughout the season when Ohio State's ripping off wins against the top 25. I mean, obviously, it's an easy start. But we got Notre Dame next week, which will kind of be our first real test. And let's just say I'm predicting Ohio State by 40 in that game.
Yeah. No, I agree. Any team to have Notre Dame in their schedule, I think, is knowing that they're going to be a tough matchup and have some confidence in their team. So I think that's great stuff.
100%. All right, Nick. We talked about my team. TCU started with a big, tough loss to University
they did.
Of New Orleans.
Inexcusable.
We talked about it on the pod. Inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. But, to be fair, they did lose their starting center early in the game, and there were some injuries.
The backup
beforehand.
Center was out, and Jace Pogue.
And obviously we know University of New Orleans is actually better than we thought, of course. So, but no excuses for that
no
loss,
excuses.
Of course. No excuses. But, man, they got a big win in their second game. And Nick, I have one question for you about these TCU Horned Frogs. Did we overreact to their loss?
Look, I don't want to say anything because it's losing at home to New Orleans to start the year is truly an inexcusable loss. But, you know, when you know your rotation throughout the game and not have to adjust to put your four at the five and get one of your best rebounding and players back, frankly, Jace Posey, and then your backup center, Vianney Salichum. It's a whole different team, and they should have, like, they won this game by 41 against San Francisco, but they should have won by more. Like, San Francisco went on an 8-0 run to end the game against TCU's walk-ons, so it was really, I consider it more of a 50-point win. But every
the Giramonti metric system is counting it.
I'd put them higher.
And what would you
know? I
think the New Orleans loss. That's like a 2-point win, or
no, that was an inexcusable loss. That was for sure a loss that can't have happened. But yeah, like everything that was a struggle was fixed. The rebounding numbers, you got out-rebounded by 11. You out-rebounded St. Francis by 26, and that's without your starting center.
Yeah.
You shot 3 of 27 from 3 in the first game. Lost against New Orleans, you shoot 12 of 33 for 36% in the second game. Tanner Toulson goes off. Shout out Tanner Toulson. Great press conference after the game showing how together this team is and how they're going to be playing for Malik. But it was just... This is my first game back. Michael Robinson, first career double-double. Xavier Edmonds, 12 points, 9 rebounds. But it was great to be back at the Shoal. Doubleheader with women's and men's, both won by an average of 40 points. It was just a great time. Catch up with some people that you haven't seen in a while and got some good press clipping. So I'm excited about the TCU team. I'm excited how they're going to build off of this and I just can't wait till Michigan next Friday. I think it'll be an interesting result.
are you now, as we sit here, you are, let's be clear, the mid-range is already guaranteed a win for TCU, so we don't have to sugarcoat in that game.
Yeah.
So we know, we assume TCU is winning against Michigan, but that's, we can both agree on that. But like, where are you at? So you lose bad, and then you kill St. Francis. It's almost like, do you think you washed away that loss already? And it feels like we're 0-0. It's a reset. You know, you showed that was a fluke type situation, or is that something that you think still sticks with the Horned Frogs for the rest of the year?
I think it's somewhere in between. I don't think you can take much in these early games. Like, being honest, like, it's your first game of the year, you're going to have jitters, and, like, your backcourt hasn't played as well as you wanted to. So, like, that loss still does hurt a lot. But,
yeah,
again, like, it still, like, you have the complete ability to shift the nation's view in these next 4 months, where, like, a game on November 4th could very well not matter. But, like, it was truly the response you wanted to see. Like, two things can happen after a loss, and I think it shows a lot of culture and character, being completely unsarcastic. Like, it's, you could crumble and let a loss like that get to you, especially being like, oh, you could have the thought that it, you know, ruins your season. But they showed they were together, they bounced back very convincingly, which is like, you couldn't have won this game by like 15 to 20 and really have confidence. But they handled it well. They got a 40-point win, and I know nobody really cares about TCU St. Francis, but I think there's a good quote that a lot of high-level coaches have said over the years, you're only as good as your last game. And I think that's important for going forward, for looking at this team.
They've also said you're never as good as your best win. So
that's true. So that's why this is a prover game versus Lamar Monday. I believe I'll be there, so should be exciting.
We know once that Lamar game passes, we'll know with TCU. We'll know where they are as a squad.
Lamar's a team, too, coming off a 40-point win over the Jaguars of Texas A&M San Antonio. So they're an undefeated team coming in, so take that for what you will.
Speaking of Jaguars, we at the mid-range were early to the IU Indy hype. They were kind of the talk of college basketball Twitter after their game against LIU. This new coach seems to be legit, although they are 0-3. So maybe not, but they are a lot of fun to watch. Nick, let me ask you the question that I think everyone who's checking in really wants to know. Who's a better player right now in college basketball? Micah Robinson. Or Gabe Cupps?
Micah Robinson. You know I'm never going to go again. I'm never going to go again.
I'd say Rise of right now will give Micah the nod, but Gabe Cupps, a lot of very interesting discourse on
OSU Twitter
about Gabe Cupps.
Was he Mr. Indiana?
Mr. Ohio.
Did he win it? Or was he Mr. Ohio?
He was Mr. Ohio as a senior, and he went to Indiana over Ohio State, which people were like super pissed about. And then he came.
I knew
back.
It was one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dropping Royal. A crazy 2.5 points per game. So.
Yeah, if you go on Ohio State Twitter right now, you would think that he was averaging 30. Like, and they are like, and it's like, if you're like,
he hasn't made a field goal.
Maybe it's a little concerning. Yeah,
you've made the amount of field goals that he's made.
If you were to suggest that maybe it would be good if our backup point guard was a scoring threat in some capacity at all, you would think you just said like a slur on Twitter or something. It's absurd on OSU Twitter right now, but that's beside the point. Nick, let's have a quick mental health check before we end the episode here.
You going to talk football? Please don't talk football.
I hate to bring it up, but I have you. I have you here. I have a TCU expert on
basketball.
The pod.
I'm here to talk
about
basketball.
I bet you thought this would be a nice break. I just, where's your head at? I don't talk about the game. Just how are you? Okay? Are you feeling okay generally?
I'm fine. Yeah, it's tough loss. It's frustrating. It really sucks. But
did you get any cathartic? Did you get on a space last night?
Yeah. No, I was at the game. I was having some drinks. I was, it wasn't a space type of night. And yeah, it sucks. That's why we're here talking basketball instead of football. So yeah, my teams are. I'm rooting for the Sharks are delivering for me. Celebrini 3 in a row. And then.
So you're a Sharks guy now.
College basketball. I actually am. The Warriors aren't doing too hot, and so yeah, give me.
What about Arsenal?
Give me Sharks. All in.
Are you? I'm genuinely like, you keep sending me this Arsenal.
About Arsenal? Like,
are you? Yeah.
No, I don't. I can't name. I actually am a Sharks guy though, which is I'm sure what everybody's dialed in this podcast to hear me talk Sharks. But
I mean, no one's dialed in. We just talk whatever about the hell we want. It's the back end of the pod, you know. If you stuck it out to this point, you're getting a little bit of a.
Yeah, no, I'm ready to think Yoffs for Sharks. Everyone was like, Sharks going to be the worst team this season, and then like Celebrini's legitimately an MVP candidate. I mean,
Bay Area kid, right?
I mean, yeah, Rick is. Obviously, with the Warriors head trainer. So, yeah, I mean, he was born in Canada, so but raised Bay Area. So it's a great story for the Bay and for the Sharks. And you know, they have a winning record for the first time in a long time. So, yeah, Will Smith and Macklin kind of have this great chemistry there, and they throw Toph in the mix, and we won three straight. So.
You're in. Yeah. You're all in. You got it all spelled out. You know, I'm a Columbus Blue Jackets guy, so I don't necessarily.
Really? You're not a Sharks guy?
No. Blue Jackets all the way. You know, they had a player die a few years ago. I see it is a big deal in Columbus. So, you know, I mean, you probably wouldn't appreciate that to the same level, but a guy like me takes that and it radicalizes him. So, yeah, I'm a Blue Jackets guy. You know, what do they say? They shoot the cannon off every time they score a goal. It's a lot of fun. So yeah, you know, I ride with my Columbus squads. Columbus getting an AF, not AFL, XFL team this year, USFL team. So a lot of exciting stuff going on in UFL. Ohio here. IFL what?
UFL. Respect the league.
Yeah, well, because that's where a lot of the TCU guys play, right?
You know,
you're so sensitive today. There you go. See?
That's after we beat Michigan. That's after we beat Michigan. Yeah, no, I'm trying to be happy. It was a really, really, really one of the toughest sports weeks of my life, probably. So,
yeah,
bouncing back.
Well, some things, Nick.
Yeah. All right.
There's more to life. You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, go Sharks.
All right. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to the Mid-Range. Nick, thank you for coming on. I'm sorry that we had to bring down the mood here at the end. But everyone, please check out us on all socials. Please check out my Substack, JacobWeiss03. Starting to wrote a couple blogs there. Going to keep them going throughout the season. Look out for a big one this week in regards to my viral tweet. Nick, anything before I sign us off?
Great pod.
All right. Peace and love, everybody. Frogs. Thank you for listening to the Mid-Range. Go Frogs.